This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Listen, they're not blowing this team up. They're not going to do it. They're not constructed to do it. Now, they might have to make some hard decisions come the deadline. And we'll talk all about this with our next guest, who's going to participate in the American Century Championship this weekend. You can catch it Friday through Sunday on NBC and the Golf Channel and NBC Sportsnet as well. Some greats are going to be playing in it. Roger Clemens, Aaron Rodgers, Pat Mahomes, Charles Barkley, and the great John Smoltz joins us here on the K Show. It's Don and Peter. How are you, John?
I'm doing great. I'm in a little piece of heaven right here. Big old lake, mountains in the background, perfect temperature. It could be better.
Yeah, Lake Tahoe is the site, one of the most breathtaking places in the world. And listen, baseball's got a lot to offer, too, so let's talk about that. We just started the show with these seven-inning split doubleheaders. I don't know how you feel about it. I don't know how necessary you feel it is to have seven-inning doubleheaders. I guess it made sense during the pandemic, but to have them now, John, and to have split doubleheaders where fans literally get robbed of two innings – when they thought they were going to get nine, just your general sense on reducing the innings in doubleheaders.
Yeah, I can understand your latter point. That's fair. If fans are talking about nine-inning games. But in theory, what really this has been a result of, I know it made sense last year, and it certainly worked last year, you know, baseball's trying to figure out its sweet spot, right? I mean, there's data out there, and anytime you talk about the data, it doesn't mean you hate the game or the game's going in the wrong direction. It's just the data drives certain decisions, and games are taking, on average, a lot longer than normal. And so when you think about kind of a makeup schedule and you can get two games in, not the day-night doubleheader, but it's, you can go to a doubleheader game and watch 14 innings and be out of there a lot sooner and cleaner than you typically play 2 9-inning games, and, which rarely happen anymore. But the split doubleheader, that's definitely something you have me make a valid point. I don't mind the 7-inning doubleheader per se, only because if baseball wants to get more games in a scenario, let's say down the road they want to get some more playoffs, right? Everyone talks about, well, you got to shorten the season, you got to lose that revenue to gain more playoffs, to gain more excitement. Well, think about this. Next year, hypothetically, pie in the sky, every Sunday, once a month, twice a month, doesn't matter. Every Sunday's a doubleheader, seven-inning doubleheader. Every Monday's a day off. You get more games in a less period of time. Everyone's worried about player safety and this and that and health. There's ways to be creative in the game and still accomplish some things that have benefit down the road. I know a lot of people don't like change. And right. Typically, as a player, when I was a player, I didn't like a lot of change, but you adapt and get used to it. And in the other sports, they make changes all the time. So a long-winded answer to say I don't mind the seven-inning doubleheaders right to back-to-back. The split doubleheaders is definitely something that, you know, as a fan, you might feel like you're getting gypped a little bit.
And on that topic, do you think that if you pitch a no-hitter through seven, it should be a no-hitter?
Yeah, it's a no-hitter, whether it quantifies, it's going to be documented in the Hall of Fame. It's just what may not be in the record books when everything else is basically a nine-inning no-hitter. I totally understand that. But, yeah, you're going to feel good about a no-hitter. You got 21 up, 21 down, or, you know, a walk here or there. I think, you know what I find interesting, and I don't have the stats to back this up, but it just seems, the perception seems, more starting pitchers are going seven innings in a seven-inning game than are going seven innings in a nine-inning game.
Right.
And you just wonder why that is, right? And that was one way with the seven innings. I thought we were going to see the opposite. I thought we were going to see a pitcher go four innings and then relieve it to death. But it's actually working where the starter, you know, smells that seven innings a lot differently than he smells the seven innings in a nine-inning game.
I never thought about that, but that is really interesting. We're talking to John Smoltz. He'll be a part of the American Century Championship this weekend on NBC and NBC Sportsnet and the Golf Channel. And also some newcomers are going to be playing, including Giants Super Bowl champion Justin Tuck and the Yankee former pitcher CeCe Sabathia. The other topic, John, is the spider tech and the sticky stuff. And you've seen Cole be affected by it. I think from a confidence standpoint, you've seen Chapman be affected by it. How do you think this would have affected you? Was it something that you used and you felt you needed for a better grip?
No, yeah, I never used anything quite like that, for sure. I never needed a grip unless it was cold. You know, it was cold, and back in those days, you know, sunscreen and rosin, or just sweat and rosin, we couldn't go to our mouth. So you couldn't create any kind of, you couldn't create the rosin, how good the rosin works when you get sweat. And if you're in dry, cold area, you know, you're not getting any of that. So my purposes was just to grip the baseball, not to spin it more, not to throw the fastball harder. So it was totally different. This substance, and I'm not familiar with it, never seen it, supposedly technology has gotten so good that it's taken pitchers to the next level, from what I understand. But remember the layers of this. You got to do the whole story on how this came about. 3 years ago, I guess, is around the time frame, the number of pitchers were complaining about the ball. And I don't hold a ball anymore because my shoulder hurts when I put a baseball in my hand. So really? I don't even want to put a ball in my hand. And so I got to trust the pitchers. When they say the ball's slicker and it was harder, and that's when all the balls were going out of the park at record distance. So I think the pitchers had to find a way to say, hey, I got to figure out a way to grip this ball. Well, with technology and analytics and everything that's out there, it probably started working, and then it got to the point where it was a little over the top. And I think everyone would agree, trying to find something that everyone's good with would be the end result. Like next year, in a perfect world, either the baseballs have solved the issue or a certain substance solves the issue, because a pitcher will never forget how to pitch. But if you're holding a cue ball, if the ball feels like a cue ball, you have no chance. And it'll be the same, and this is the argument that's been forever. If you told batters that they could go up there with a brand new bat and no substance on the bat, and even though they could have batting gloves, the bat would be flying out of their hands at record. I mean, there's no way, right? The hitters would say, I can't. We'll get the bat's going to slip out of my hands. So in one breath, the hitters know that the sticky stuff and all the stuff they use and the pine tar works for them. And they never had a problem with a pitcher being able to grip a baseball. I think where it starts getting a little crazy is that when you see spin rate at record rates and everybody's spin rate going up, then you have to scratch your head and go, okay, is that part of the reason why the velocity is where it is, the strikeout numbers are the way they are, it is. But simply put, there's going to be a confidence factor that the hitters now feel better that pitchers aren't using it. The pitchers are going to feel a little less confident. They'll learn how to become more confident with the style in the summer that they've been given the chance to work without it. And every pitcher has a lull. But you know what's unfortunate is you can't go through a lull now because everyone's going to draw the lines to this is the reason why. And it's not that case for everyone, but we are going to watch this with a fine-tuned, a telescope to go, okay, is this pitcher this? Is that pitcher that because of this or that? I'm just telling you, the elite pitchers are going to figure it out. They're going to be able to throw the baseball with more conscious effort on where the ball is going. Pitching in general has not been focused on where's the ball going. Throw it as hard as you can in the zone and let your stuff get hitters out. When you make bad pitches, it doesn't matter how great a pitcher you are, in the wrong spots of the zone, they're going to get hit. And so that's what kind of Cole is falling into right now. He has not made a lot of quality pitches that what I could see at times he needed to, and that's going to be an adjustment period, I'm sure, for everybody.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, we're talking to John Smoltz, the American Century Championship this weekend. I'm just now, for the first time, John, looking at these pairings for the first round. I mean, this is high-level celebrity golf. There are a lot of celebrity golf tournaments, okay? And let's be real, they're filled with jabronis. This one here, there are some.
It's,
I mean, Don, let me throw Don some of these pairings, and then I got a question for you. Don,
right.
They got a pairing here. Aaron Rodgers, A.J. Hawk, and Larry Fitzgerald.
Okay.
There's Steph, Dell, and Seth Curry. Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Justin Timberlake. Canelo is playing. Don, you've told me before, your favorite 90s Braves pitcher, Tom Glavine, is playing with Marty Fish. Don, here's one for you. Mike Modano, Joe Pavelski, and TJ Oshie.
Nice.
It's just, it's Dan Quayle, Joe Theismann, and Ryan Fitzpatrick. Al Michaels is playing. Is there anyone you saw, John, that you were like, because you're playing with Joe Buck and Joe Mauer, both I'm sure you know quite well.
Yes.
Was there anyone you saw that you were like, oh, I wish I was in that group?
Well, you know, any tournament you play, you want to be in the last group on the last day. So that's always remained my goal. And to get with, you know, I've had a chance to play with Annika. She's playing in this tournament. It's a blast to play with her. You know, when you start meeting people you would never meet and playing with them, it really is fun and unique. And the goal is to climb the ladder and finish in the top, you know, try to win it. So, you know, some of my favorites, I tell the story, like the first time I got a chance to meet Rob Riggle, I'm a big fan. I love the movies. I love to laugh. And he's got a line in the Hangover movie in the police station. And I felt like compelled like to make that line to him and just see how it plays out. Right. I was in a press conference with Jack Morris. It was a celebrity softball game that everyone was playing in. And we were the captains. And they said, listen, we want to encourage social media for everybody. And I went, not up in here. And I looked down, and he gave me a nice little smile, and I asked him, how did that play? Did it? He goes, well played, well played. So stuff like that, that you get a chance to be with actors and comedians, Larry the Cable Guy, Brian Bumgarner. We developed a lot of friendship through this tournament. But at the end of the day, I'm not lying to you guys. My life's not complete until I win it. I'm 54 years old. I'm running out of a little bit of time, and I got to win this tournament, or I'll never be able to live it down. From an expectation, my whole career seems similar to this golf journey that I'm on. Supposed to win a Cy Young, supposed to win a Cy Young. Every year picked there for a while. And then in 96, I finally won. And I felt like, I checked in. And that's the way I feel now. If I don't win one of these tournaments,
it'll be a hole. You're teeing off about 45 minutes before Tony Romo in the first round. We know he'll be a big challenge, but in all seriousness, for someone who played at your level in base as a pro athlete and a baseball player, would winning this actually like register for you as an all-time important win?
Oh yeah, no doubt. The greatest accomplishment so far in my life, just so you guys know how I think, I was supposed to be a good baseball player. That's the way I thought. That's what I trained for. That was my job. That was my livelihood. Okay. Pitching in big games, that was no big deal to me. When I qualified for the Senior Open, I screamed and I felt like it was the greatest accomplishment of my life, because that's not something I was supposed to do. Right. That's the individual sport. I got a lot of teammates that bailed me out, you know, when I made a bad pitch or whatever. So that to this day, of all the things that I've been able to do. So this will be a close second. I mean, you know, everyone keeps talking to me. Why haven't you won? Oh, you should win. So it's a little bit of I'm making a little different attitude change this year. Every year I come in with too much pressure. This year I'm going to just kind of free roll it. And my motto is to be the oldest winner ever at this tournament.
Well, I got to tell you, John, I mean, with all due respect, you telling me that you have a different approach, all you've told us throughout this interview is how desperate you are to win. I don't know that you're really buying into it.
I don't. You're right.
You're obsessed.
You're 100% right. But I got to try something different. I've been in the top 10 every year. Okay, so it's not about being in the top 10. It's about winning. I finished third, second. Last year, I set a record for the most pars ever in the tournament. This is not a tournament for pars. It's a tournament for birdies.
Wow.
So I got to get out of the mindset of, like, I got to feel like I'm just throwing darts every chance I can. So when there's a leaderboard, okay, I want to be on that leaderboard, and I want to be at top. And until it happens, you know, I mean, I'm not going to go jump in the lake or kick my dog or anything. I'm just going to keep doing it until I get it right.
All right, it'll be televised starting on Friday on NBC, NBC Sportsnet. Also, some coverage on the Golf Channel. Got about 30 seconds, John. Just want to ask, because you brought up Cole with the sticky stuff.
Yeah.
If he can't use that, would you be worried about the 7 years left on that contract? Because the Yankees signed a pitcher they thought they were going to get from Houston. Is he different to where maybe that contract's devalued at all?
Not necessarily. I mean, that's the easier assumption now just based on this little lowly hit. But, no, I mean, Gerrit Cole is an elite pitcher. And the reason I say elite, we can point to a ton of great arms. He commands the baseball. He doesn't have to grip it and rip it. He's got change of speed. He's got the quadrants covered. That won't be an issue for Gerrit Cole. The issue is going to be just learning the different style that he has to come up with, if there is such a thing, you know, without this substance.
John, great stuff as usual, man. And enjoy the weekend. Hope you win.
Thanks, guys.
Good luck, man.
That's awesome, man.
Don, I got to tell you, I know you don't fully appreciate this because you don't play golf like that. For a human being who's not, and I understand he's not normal, right? Like he's a pro athlete who takes golf very seriously. But to actually like be playing in a tournament and going, this course isn't for pars, it's for birdies. Do you know how good you have to be at golf to think that way?
Yeah, well,
it's like
obviously
sick.
Very good at it.
If you ever went out to play with someone for fun and they were like, I'm only thinking about birdies today. Normal human's like, I'm with the wrong person.
Yeah,
what am
I'm
doing?
I'm out.
Yeah, I'm looking for sixes, dude.
1-800-919-3776. Mets down in the eighth. We'll cover that and a whole lot more. And a big special ENN with Andrew Gunling is coming up at 6 o'clock on Yes at 98.7 ESPN New York.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.